This is a recording of Dr. Tom Rozelle for Sunday, April 14th, 2019. You can listen to this program live every Sunday afternoon from 12 noon to 1 p.m. right here on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Views expressed on this program are not the views of 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now. On 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle live in studio, waiting to take your calls on anything you'd like to talk about. You know, this is the place that you find out what you can do to help yourself without drugs, without surgery. Perhaps you've had a problem, you've tried, you've applied, you've done everything that you can possibly do and come up with not so much of anything. Well, here's your opportunity. You know, when we're not here, you can always find us online at rozellecare.com. You know, reach out to us, or if you need to know information real quickly, just call 703-698-7117 and ask for one of our docs to call you back, and we'll answer your questions and do whatever we can to help you out. We have a topic, one that is actually quite timely, and you know, most of you are getting and limping through the springtime allergy season, and we've been trying to help you with that. But, you know, allergies can cause headaches, and we'll touch on that just a little bit. But our topic today is headaches, and many of you are going to come up with a major headache tomorrow, April the 15th. Why? Because you forgot to file your taxes again, or you're having to put them off, or you don't know what to do. And I know, I hate this time of the year, too, and it's always something that's uncomfortable. But we're really going to talk about how to fix headaches, and we're going to talk about a lot of different types of headaches, whether they're, you know, referral pains, muscle contraction headaches, migraines, things of that nature. But you need to know that it's not about the drugs that you take. Headaches are not an aspirin deficiency. Understand that. And you need to do something when you have it. It's a warning sign. It's something that tells you that something's wrong. In studio, your host this Wednesday evening, the 17th, at the Rozelle Center for Healing in Fairfax, none other than the professor, Dr. Harlan Browning. Cool. Dr. Harlan, welcome.
Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
Glad to be with you,
you know,
as always.
We missed it again, right? Because I always do that. This is actually 12 o'clock. We're on the other side of morning.
Well, it's close enough for me.
I know, me too, because I'm probably still functioning on some other time frame, so I really don't know which end is where I'm supposed to be. No, seriously, you know, when we're dealing with headaches, headaches are something that plague so many people. And what I want to start with is that it's not something that is, you know, only, you know, 2 or 3% of the population. What's the incidence on headaches across the board of all kinds?
I mean, it's tremendous. And the issue with headaches is it's kind of a gray zone, because for the most part, headaches aren't seen on x-ray or MRI or on blood work unless there's something significant going on, like a tumor. And most folks that have headaches don't have tumors. So we need to look at the whole totality of the person's presentation and when it starts and what makes it better, what makes it worse, if we're going to come up with a good diagnosis and a better treatment plan.
You know, the problem, and you just touched on it, is that when people have a headache or something hurts in their head, they always start, and my phrase is that they start thinking about zebras instead of, you know, the horse in the field. They look at the most unusual thing. And when we're dealing with tumors or something of a space-occupying lesion or something more deadly within the head, we're only talking about a very, very, very small percentage of what affects the head and headache form. Is that
absolutely. We're talking a minuscule amount. And that's why when you go to your doctor, they're not taking an MRI right out of the gate, because the likelihood that your headache's coming from some sort of tumor or some sort of you know, growth is very, very minimal.
You know, we see patients and have thousands and thousands of case histories of people who have come into our practice with all kinds of different headaches. And you know what really always gets to me is the fact that people put up with these things for such a long period of time before they finally knuckle down and say, I got to do something besides what I'm doing. Why?
Well, I think because, you know, headaches are common. That doesn't mean that they're normal. It just means that a lot of people have them. So people assume that they're not that big of a deal, and they get caught up in a pattern of self-medicating, you know, the Advils, the Aleves, or whatever their drug of choice is, and it works temporarily. But, you know, as soon as that wears off, it comes back. So unless the problem gets progressively worse or gets significant or changes quality or something like that, a lot of people let weeks, months, years go by, and they haven't changed anything.
You know, the interesting thing about headaches is that when you get into the traditional allopathic field and they treat it as a pathology, they treat it so significantly bizarre. You know, going back in the day, why I do what I do today, you know the story, and a lot of our listeners have heard me talk about it on platform. I became a chiropractor and followed the rules of natural health care and got into acupuncture and nutritional and integrative medicine because of my wife, because of Sue. Sue had migraines that were started when she was about 5-6 years old and progressively got to the point where they were debilitating. And she'd lose 1 to 2 days of the week out of school. The medications or the migraine were awful. Short end of a long story was that by the time she was about 23, 24 years old, she had 3 different neurologists told her that they wanted to fuse her neck, all the bones in her neck, because they felt that it was an irritation to the cord. Well, they were right, but the approach that they were taking was barbaric. And I said, I don't think so. So we started her in a chiropractic office, and within literally 30 days, after all those years of suffering, her headaches were gone. And she stayed under care for about 18 months to correct the problems that were in her spine, the misalignments and so forth. But to this day, all these years later, she's never had a migraine again.
Yeah, and you know, you hear of people who have long-standing migraines, and it just blows my mind that they acclimate to it, and they don't realize what they're giving up. You know, the lost time at work, lost time with their family. So it's something that needs to be addressed sooner than later.
And the financial impact, not only to their employers, themselves, and everybody else is huge.
Absolutely.
We're talking about billions and billions of dollars a year in all kinds of financial loss to everybody and anything that's associated with it. It's an awful consideration. You know, and when you deal with this one problem, if you could eliminate headaches and get people to realize that they actually have control over it, it would be unbelievable, and it would be a huge impact to the deficit in this country, because so much money is spent in treating of headaches and diagnosis of headaches and so forth. My guest in studio, Dr. Harlan Brown, and he will be your host, your presenter, this Wednesday evening, the 17th, at 7 p.m. at the Roselle Center for Healing in Fairfax. Listen, to register for this very timely presentation, all you need to do is go to our website, go to RoselleCare.com. That's RoselleCare.com, RoselleCare.com, or simply call the office at 703-698-7117. Dr. Harlan, let's talk a little bit about, you know, the different types of headaches and how to identify them, how to differentiate them. You know, if, you know, a patient walks in, when's the likelihood that, you know, that they have one of something over something else? In the second half of the program, I want to get into migraines and vascular patterns. But, you know, what is the typical presentation? What's the typical type of headache that you see?
I would say probably the number one type of headache is more muscular or mechanical in nature. In other words, a tension-type headache would probably be number one. Number two would be the migraineurs, people who get the migraine. And then from there, you can look at folks that have toxic or inflammatory-type headaches. Referred pain is often an aspect, and we have to look at the TMJ, the jaw joint itself, and how it's related to the side of the head. So the location of the headache is probably the most important component in getting the right diagnosis.
When you touched upon a piece that's very interesting and should be interesting to most people, that the type of headache, headaches are not just headaches, and we said that, you know, the pathological headaches are a very, very small percentage of these things, but they treat all headaches as if they were pathological. When you have these muscle contraction headaches that you were talking about, these tension headaches, which obviously are the most common, let's talk about some of the triggering mechanism. What causes these headaches to come about? Why do people suffer so significantly from these things, and why don't they go away? Because if they're a stress component, if they're a tension headache, you would think that once the tension and the stress goes away, they wouldn't have a headache anymore.
Because you have to disassociate the stress component from the tension. So most people, when they think of tension headaches, they think of stress being related to my job or finances. Well, for me, it's more of a physical stress. Bad posture is the number one for me, and certainly previous trauma. In today's society, everyone is connected to a computer screen. So the way you sit at a desk and the forward head posture that's adapted over time is the number one bad guy out there, because it causes us to lose normal curve in our neck, and it causes us to put excessive strain on tissues that aren't designed to hold that strain. So then over time they become inflamed, they break down, and then we develop these pain patterns. So I would say the top of the pecking order would be the postural tension type headache.
You know, there was an instructor I had many, many years ago, and I was in practice, but it was within the first 2-3 years, and I heard this doctor present a program on headaches and how we were going to treat them and so forth. And he always told me, he said, a typical headache pattern has many components. It's not isolated to the head. And he said, we're talking about structural pieces. He says, those of you who don't look at the feet and trying to treat a headache are missing a huge piece of the causative patterns of headache. What's that all about?
Well, I mean, if you look from the ground floor up, if we have changes in the way our feet hit the ground, or we have imbalances in the pelvis, we're going to compensate as we move up, which makes the shoulders not become level, and then the head becomes skewed to one side or the other, which increases that tension. So you're right. So there's some folks that get headaches because of excessively flat feet, and they maybe stand for a living, or they're on their feet a lot, and they're wondering by the end of the day why they're grabbing the back of their neck or their shoulders and trying to massage out a knot that just reappears every day at around 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
So that old childhood song rhyme that the ankle bone's connected to the knee bone, connected to the hip bone's got some merit here.
It could, certainly, yes.
And so it's even like a house. You know, I'll tell a patient that if the window in your second floor bedroom is cracked and you have to keep replacing the window, you can't just replace the frame. You better look at the foundation.
Absolutely.
And if you shift that foundation, that window will stop cracking.
Yeah, and what I do, and I know you do because you've been doing it longer than I have, is you look at the posture. You stand the person up on a plumb line, which is basically a gravitational line falling down. If you see the body progressing forward of that line, the shoulders rolling forward, the head going forward, that's a warning sign. If you see a shoulder elevated on one side or a hip dipping on the other, that's another warning sign. And if you see a torque, seems like the person's shoulders are rotating forward on the left, and maybe the hips are coming forward on the right, again, that's more warning signs. This is the body basically telling us there's something wrong here. It's like the car not being aligned, and you're wondering why you're when you drive and it's pulling off to the side of the road. Well, the same thing happens with the body.
You said something years ago, and we're going back probably about 6 years or so now. I think 6 years ago, PBS did a 90-minute documentary on our work, and you were talking about, in one of the interview sections, you were talking about how the cranial bones, there's 22 of them, move in synchrony to each other. And they get locked, they get jammed, they don't do what they're supposed to be doing. And that pumping action can cause headache patterns. How does that happen?
Well, these bones that we connect in our skull by something called sutures have millimetric movement that occurs all the time. It allows for expansion of cerebrospinal fluid in the skull, and it allows to pump it throughout the whole body. If those sutures become jammed because of trauma or because of excessive muscle tension, then we're going to change the dynamics of that pumping mechanism, which very often can cause headaches and things associated with headaches. So you have to look closely at that. And for people that don't believe that they move, what you need to do is go online and look at people who have before and afters of people who have poorly fitting dentures. And what you will see is
Absolutely.
Their face looks completely different when they have a denture that is correct for them. You will see that the frontal bones will actually come forward, or the maxilla, these bones in the face will come forward. That is a great illustration on how important it is for those mechanics of those bones to work.
And the reason I brought that up, because that is a tension stress pattern that can come about from a lot of different things. People can clench their teeth, and I'm glad you brought up that dental relationship. You know, they tighten down, they lock their jaws down, they're grinding, they lose vertical dimension, and those are all stress tension patterns, and the jaw can be affected by the pelvis, and we can all go all the way back down into those areas. So, you know, those are things that we don't think about, or a traditional physician doesn't think about. This Wednesday evening, the 17th, 7 p.m., Dr. Harlan Browning will be your host, your presenter at the Rozelle Center for Healing. And he's going to be talking about the differentiating pieces of headaches, but more importantly, what you can do about it and get rid of these things once and for all. You don't have to live with this. Headaches are not a medication deficiency, an aspirin deficiency, if you will. They can be resolved. We're coming up to that place where we have to break and pay attention to people who bring you Dr. Tom Rozelle live. We have a lot more information, you know, that I think that is going to be very adaptable. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Dr. Tom Rozelle live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle live. We are talking about something that is very, very impactful to all our lives because it stops us dead in our tracks, and something that when it does occur, we can't function. You can't contribute. You can't participate. You can't be involved virtually in everything. Why? Because it hurts. We're talking about headaches and all kinds of headaches. So we talked a little bit about muscle contraction headaches. We talked a little bit about cranial pressure headaches, and we're going to get into the other pieces now. We're going to talk a little bit about these referral pain, toxic, migraineous type of things that so many of you suffer with. And this Wednesday evening, April the 17th, 7 p.m., in-house, Dr. Harlan Browning will be your host, your presenter at the Rozelle Center in Fairfax. All you need to do to register for that class, and you need to register, by the way, so, and we want you there as our guest, and the weather's great, and you need to show up, is simply do this. Go to rozellecare.com. That's R-O-S-E-L-L-E-C-A-R-E, rozellecare.com, and go to scroll down and say register here, and we're going to remind you that, you know, that you got an appointment, and there's no cost to these things. Why? Because we want to give you as much data as we possibly can. Or simply call the office at 703-698-7117. And we'll get that reservation, and we'll remind you as well. Dr. Browning, let's get into the program just a little bit more. This is a really important topic, and it's one that unfortunately costs billions of dollars to the community, to individuals, stops people in their tracks. They can't participate with their family. You know, they don't do their work the way they should be doing it in the workplace. They're either on medication, so they're numbed out, and or they got a headache, and they're not efficient. So you started talking about a different type of headache that is, you know, one that people kind of miss and most physicians miss. Let's explore that a little bit more.
Yeah, so I kind of refer to those as secondary headaches, meaning that they're secondary to something else going on. We talked about the side effects of taking a lot of aspirin or any of the over-the-counter things. The issue is the body has to process those medications, and while it's processing it, it is often damaging itself. And I can assure you there's a lot of folks that go to the ER every year for undiagnosed bleeding ulcers because they take just too much aspirin or too much Tylenol. Well, when we take those medications, we destabilize our digestive tract and burden our liver. And now we're taking those two organ systems out of their day-to-day operation, and it becomes harder for us to control our body function. We call that homeostasis. And one of the side effects is we increase more inflammation, or maybe we don't clear hormones quickly. So what that means is our body, male and female, we produce hormones ongoingly, but the body has a mechanism to actually reclaim those and reprocess them ongoingly, because we just don't want to continue to increase hormone levels. We have to keep them at steady state, and the liver and the GI tract do that. So when the liver and the intestinal tract become compromised, they can't do that function. So then our hormones start to fluctuate. Now, if we talk about a female who produces surges of hormones, estrogen, progesterone, excuse me, then that's going to make it even worse. So an underlying GI problem that might not be a GI symptom related, we might not have gas, bloating, diarrhea, constipation, issue might have to be addressed.
But that filtering system that we have within the intestinal tract is no longer working properly, and as you said, the barrier is breaking down. But also, and the thing that we haven't touched upon yet is that because of that, we're going to absorb pathogens. We're
Absolutely.
Going to be looking at bacteria and viral patterns and even parasites that can get in the body, then can cause these triggers to cause a symptom headache.
Yeah, and something even more simple and less sinister than that is when we eat, and let's say we eat processed foods, which a lot of people do, they're inundated with preservatives, stabilizers, and things to make it have a long, long shelf life. Well, those chemicals are not natural to the body. So if we don't have a mechanism to get rid of it, we don't have a sub pump to pump the basement out when it's raining, then that water is going to fill up. So we become more toxic. And then that's when people get these toxic type headaches. And they classically, the person would say, it just feels like my whole head is just full, or there's somebody squeezing my whole head. To me, that screams a toxic headache, an inflammatory headache, or a hormonal headache, as opposed to, a pinched nerve or something else.
You know, with these headache patterns, you know, we see a lot of thyroid type of headaches. You know, a thyroiditis, if you will. Again, itis means inflammation of something, and that still comes from the same thing. It's that liver function not working, and sometimes because that, as you said, the first part of liver clearing is for hormones of all sorts. It doesn't make any difference what kind they are. And now you have these inflammatory irritations that start producing these migraineous-like headaches, these sick-to-your-stomach headaches, you know, I need to go throw up and get rid of it type of headache. Let's walk through that a little bit. Let's talk about the differentiation. You know, we've said for years that a migraine headache is a vascular headache, but it's a vascular something due to something. And let's keep it on this referral pain pattern from the liver and so forth. Let's walk through that a little bit more.
Well, I think that the easiest illustration would be the headache associated the day after drinking alcohol. If we drink alcohol and the body doesn't have the ability to clear that alcohol and the aldehydes, these are all the byproducts of it, then it's going to circulate in the body. And because these are toxic chemicals, it causes our blood vessels to become tighter or be sensitized. It causes other tissues to become inflamed. Well, the same thing happens if we just can't control day-to-day operations, because over time the liver becomes toxic or the GI tract becomes unstable. So that's the person who starts out by having maybe one migraine a year, then it goes to two, and now we get them once a month, and now we get them a couple times a week, or, you know, on and on and on, because we've lost that balance, that homeostasis that I referred to. We just don't have steady state.
Do these types of headaches that you're just talking about, these referred pain patterns causing the head to be irritated, you know, we talked about just a moment ago about the cascade of degeneration that occurs within the spinal system afterwards. Do these types of headaches cause that response over time as well?
They could sensitize it and make it worse. Nerves need to have certain things for them to express themselves. And inflammation and toxic chemicals can sensitize the nerve and make it more likely for that nerve to do its thing, to express itself. And that might be for that nerve to contract a muscle, or that nerve to give us a ringing in the ear, or that nerve to make us feel dizzy. So yes, the chemical type headaches can contribute even more so to the structural. I would actually go on the flip side and say it's much more common that I see that the structural headache, the musculoskeletal, is much more likely to trigger the person who gets migraines. So their structural problem triggers their migraines over and over again. So, but unfortunately, they just blame the migraine portion. They're not looking at the structural underlying problem that triggers it.
Let me ask you a question, and it's one that I know your patients have asked you, and they ask all of our doctors in the office. And when we present information like this and we start tying the pieces together, and the patient will often say, why didn't my doctor tell me what you're telling me? How come they don't know this information? Is it that they don't know it, or is it they are not applying it in a systematic pattern and they're compartmentalizing things? And I'm not deprecating any physician, but there's got to be a reason.
I would think it's probably a little bit of both scenarios. There, you know, as time goes by, we kind of forget the basic anatomy and physiology. And if really, if you have a great understanding of those two things, you can reverse engineer almost any type of symptom and come up with an answer that probably explains why you're dealing with the problem. I think the other half probably has to do with the ease of treating things with a medication. It's very convenient. There's no doubt about that. And it also helps to work within the confines of limited time in the room with the patient. If the doctor only has 5 minutes, it becomes easier to write the script than it does to work up the problem. Working it up means doing all the diagnostic tests, the actual hands-on. If you don't actually touch a patient, you don't get very much information out of it. So if we have 5 minutes in the room, it's tough for me to do an exam and write scripts for medications and for MRIs and all this stuff. So then I think very often the default is let's just start with a common medicine for the problem and see where we end up.
And unfortunately, in today's health arena, you hear more and more of that. You know, they come in, doctor doesn't touch the patient, and they simply said, well, let's try this and see how it works out, and we'll follow up on it, and I'll see you next month. And all they're doing is they're treating a symptom. Now, being fair, not everyone is like that. There's a lot of folks out there that really think through the process and really understand things. Just, you know, you can go into folks like, you know, Jack Wolfson, who's known as the paleocardiologist, and he works through symptom processes, but take it back all the way to what the causative reaction is. And the more you can get to the causative trigger, the more effective you can be with the patient. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about what caused this thing to begin with. Why is the patient having the problems that they are having? And if you treat that, you become the lifesaver to the patient. It's not anything other than application of normal physiological therapeutics, understanding what the mechanisms are. And in today's world, so much is coming out so quickly that you have to continue to tweak. And you're an expert at that. You're constantly, you know, in the books and reading. And, you know, when it comes to inflammatory ramifications and your background in neurology, you have a specialty in neurological examination and application. These are important things. Let's talk a little bit more about this. It's an intriguing process. You know, when you talk about referred pain patterns, we talked a little bit about, you know, how this gut-liver mechanism, but there's other referral pains as well that can cause nasty headaches, and if you miss them, you never get rid of them.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I think the quickest way to break it down is to look at certain parameters. The location of the headache, where is it? Is it in the front of your head, the back of the head, the side of the head? How frequent do you get it? Is there a time component? I get it every day at 4 o'clock, or I only get it Monday through Friday, or I only get it 3 days out of the month. And then certainly provocative factors, these things make it worse. And then alleviating factors, these things that I do that make it better. If you kind of run through those 4 or 5 steps, you're going to be able to kind of cut to the quick as far as what it probably is. And then that's when your examination comes in. That's when your laboratory testing comes in. And that's when, you know, any type of special tests that we might do, like an X-ray or an MRI, those are confirmatory. You know, the history of the problem, what the person tells you, should basically give you an understanding of what it is. You're going to do all those other tests to really confirm it.
So you're not going on a hunting expedition to find something. If you do a detailed history and you ask the right questions and you take it back far enough and you find out what the triggering mechanisms were, the patient really can give you 80% of the diagnosis.
Absolutely. And if you fail to listen to them or let them give you the opportunity to talk, you're going to be chasing your tail very often in that treatment room, and you're doing a disservice to the patient and certainly to yourself, because, you know, this is what we do.
You know, it's an unfortunate circumstance when a patient comes in and they tell us, you know, I went and I did this and I did this and nothing's worked. And basically it's been one medication after the other. And the other day a patient came in the office and headache problem. But it was this lousy headache that just never went away. It ebbed and flowed, but it was always, if we set a 0 to 10 scale, 10 is something that, you know, they want to be drugged out of their mind so they couldn't feel anything. 0, non-existent. But when it was at its best, it was always about a 3 or 4. And so I sat there and I said, you know, what are you doing about it? And the guy shows me a list of medications. I said, oh, my God. So I went to drugs.com and I put them all in while they while I was sitting there. Every one of the medications that was designed to get rid of the headache as a side effect caused, guess what?
Headaches.
A headache.
Yeah.
And you see, how can you break the cycle when these types of things are constantly ongoing? And again, it's standard of care. Standard of care means this is what has been directed and taught within the medical community, but so often it's something far outside of that. And when I say far outside of that, for us it's normal functional application, but it's because of what we talked about earlier, docs don't get that. Let's we got about a minute. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, when you see a patient and you have these referred pain patterns, how often is the headache just lifestyle, dietary patterns, environmental exposures, absorptions, things of that nature?
I mean, I think that probably speaks to the majority of the headaches that people get. It's changes over time in lifestyle and posture and all these types of things. I just don't see the majority of headaches being from some sort of sinister underlying disease that's just not being found. Most of it is because over time we're not doing the things that we need to do to keep ourselves healthy. And then the body only has, it has limits. And then once we push through those limits, it starts to break down. And for one person, that could be a chronic headaches. For another person, it could be chronic fatigue, on and on and on. So it's really about restoring, you know, function, normal function, and helping the person understand how their diet impacts the way that they feel, how the way that they sleep and sit and stand, and, you know, the quality of sleep that they get. All of those things are super important.
But Dr. Browning, my doctor said that what I ate had nothing to do with it.
Well, that might be what your doctor says, but I don't necessarily agree with it.
There's so much that we have to dig through, and we're coming up to a break, and don't go away. We're going to tell you so much more. My guest in studio, Dr. Harlan Browning, we're talking about headaches, things that can stop you in your tracks and not only not allow you to enjoy life, but your productivity. So don't go away. We're going to wrap this up for you and tell you what you're going to walk into next Wednesday night at the Results Center for Healing. We'll be right back.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back. This is Dr. Tom Rozell. You've been listening to Dr. Tom Rozell live, as you do every Sunday, 12 noon on the Eastern Seaboard. We appreciate you listening and learning and applying, because you know what? We're here for you. We're here to make sure that you get the data that you need to get to help yourself and your families and to really be the captain of your own ship. As the book I wrote for you a few years back, Health is a Do-It-Yourself Program. You need to pick that up if you don't have it, because it gives you the opportunity to really apply some standards that you've heard on this program and things that you've known about, but really draw your attention to. And you can get that, you know, either online or you can get it, you know, through Amazon. It's still out there. So get it done and give it as a gift and really learn the processes. Those of you who listen to us, you know, different parts of the country, we appreciate that. Some of you, I'm not sure how that you find us, but even Armed Forces, guys, we salute you. Thank you for your service and what you do. My guest in studio, Dr. Harlan Browning, your host, your presenter this Wednesday evening, 7 p.m. at the Rozell Center for Healing. And we're talking about, again, headaches and all the ramifications and the things that you can do to be done with this stuff, to get off these medications, to reclaim your life. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Well, all you got to do is go to rozellcare.com, register for the class, show up. The weather's nice. It's going to be great. And the sun's still out. So show up and we'll be there for you. Dr. Browning, let's pursue this a little bit. First thing I'm going to ask you is, what are you going to be doing specifically Wednesday evening? Why should people come and listen to this besides getting off the medications?
Well, I mean, obviously we're going to try to educate you as best as we can on why you're getting the headaches. And we're going to certainly talk about the ways to correct those headaches and prevent them, more importantly, from coming back. We're going to touch on lifestyles that cause headaches. We're going to talk about the importance of the way you're sitting and sleeping, good sleep hygiene. I can't stress enough that how important that is. And then we're going to talk about, you know, therapies that can be implemented that are effective and that work.
That's the whole piece. They work. They can change us around. They're not just going to numb you up and dumb you down. You know, it's when you take medication, that takes a piece away from your life. Wouldn't it be great if you could find out a way to truly get off your medications once and for all. And we're not saying that the medications don't work, because they do. Many of them, you know, put you in a place where you at least can tolerate life. But wouldn't it be great to get you back if there's a way to do that? Wouldn't you like to find out if there's a possibility? Wouldn't you like to find out what you can actually do and then make a choice about what you're doing now and something that you could be doing that long-term restores who you were years ago? That's why we do what we do. That's why the Results Center for Healing exists, because we continue to try to update and upgrade and give you more and more data that allows you to reclaim you and your life. So whether it's this class on headaches or any other program that we do throughout the year, they're designed to give you information. We're always accessible. We're always able to help you. You can pick up the phone at any time and, you know, call one of our doctors and ask questions. I want to talk about one other type of headache pattern, and it's a dental headache. And it's one that has to do, you touched on it earlier, it's a temporomandibular joint. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, doctors, physicians, dentists, and so forth, often miss that relationship. How bad of a headache can a temporomandibular or a TMJ problem present?
It certainly can be debilitating. And you touched on a point that the doctors, and I even see dentists, I send people to their dentist. I give their dentist a shot coming out of the gate to help with the situation. I see dentists often say, well, I don't think your headache's coming from your TMJ. Well, I can assure you many times they are. So, I think it's an underappreciated component, especially when a person has a bad occlusion. Occlusion means the way their teeth touch. If we build up too much tension in the jaw joint, and you got to remember the muscles of mastication, the muscles that help us chew, are all completely on the side of our head as well. So it's a large portion of our head is muscles for chewing. If that's not stable and we grind our teeth, or our teeth just sit too close together, we increase a tremendous amount of tension in those muscles, which is going to cause all types of headache patterns.
You know, it's unfortunate. People go to the dentist, and the dentist that we work with, we've educated as well. But, you know, think about lying in the dental chair, and they take that little carbon paper, and they tap, tap, tap on it, and they say, well, this is too high. But unfortunately, when you're numb, and they ask you, how does it feel afterwards, the dentist is grinding that tooth down, and sometimes you don't feel it because it's not hitting properly. It's just not irritating. But now every tooth in your mouth shifts, and your TMJ is off. And Dr. Browning is going to get in quite a bit of that this Wednesday evening. We're coming up to that place in the program where we have to say, well, you know, we're going to see you next week, and we have a great program for you next week, by the way. This Wednesday evening, the 17th, 7 p.m., Results Center for Healing. Be there. Call us. Register. We'll make it happen for you and try to help you through this juggernaut. We're coming up, and we need to say goodbye. We love you all. See you next week.